Welcome to Manager Tools. Simple facilitation, choosing a plan, part one. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. How can I help a group figure out how to choose a plan? What tools can I use to go from ideas to action when facilitating? How can I help a group making planning decisions? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
Well, Mark, you've been in this situation, as I have as well, when you have to lead a group from this blank slate, right? You got nothing. Right. And you need to make a choice on where to focus on the future. Got to come up with a plan. And yeah, for a lot of folks, it's really hard starting from a blank slate.
Yeah, because as a beginning manager, you're not given a blank slate. You're given stuff to do. But as you rise in the organization, you get increasingly higher levels of uncertainty. And the ultimate uncertainty is we don't know. We literally don't know. And we don't know what we don't know.
What do you mean managers don't know? I started off, I mean, all my managers, they seemed to know what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. This guidance today is about whether you're the leader, because you can choose to use these tools as the leader, or you can use a facilitator. We generally recommend that a manager, a senior manager, a director, or, you know, maybe a vice president or something, if you've never done this before and you're the leader, we actually recommend you have somebody else on your team facilitate, or have an outside facilitator, someone you trust and someone you know, simply because if you're facilitating and you're trying to help your people grow, then your ability to add content to the discussion is severely limited. You can do two of those three, but not all three. But again, this guidance will be for whether you're a leader or you need to facilitate another group.
Good. So what's the outline?
Yeah, so six key points. First of all, forgive yourself. It's okay to not know what the future is or what is coming next. For some managers, they struggle with that. Then the first tool we're going to remind everybody of is we start with brainstorming. We're going to use visual record keeping and pair that with brainstorming. We're going to share the results of the brainstorm in front of everyone. And then we're going to allow members multiple votes on which of the ideas that came out of the brainstorm is most important. And we'll tell about how that turns out virtually every time a little bit later. And then based on that, you capture verbal agreement on the results. This is one of the simplest facilitation tools that when you first see it used, it almost seems like magic. Managers are sitting there not knowing. And then at the end of maybe a couple hours, depending upon how many tangents you take, suddenly you say, oh yeah, okay, we're all going to choose X. We're going to go in direction X.
Yeah, and it's an amazing experience the first time because,
yeah, it is.
You know, if you're full of fear and trepidation about you have to come up with a plan around something and you don't know where to start, that feeling of just not knowing what's next and not having a plan can be kind of overwhelming. And then when you have a tool that you can use and then come out on the other side with a plan you and your team feel pretty comfortable with, it's a magical experience. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And yet when you see it happen, it's fairly prosaic. It's not magical. You don't use any clever techniques. All the techniques are available when we get done with this cast. People go, oh, that makes sense. You know, that makes sense. But it's pretty great to be a part of it. And look, let's start with it's okay to not know what's coming next. For most junior managers, it can, as Mike alluded to earlier, it can appear that your company knows where it's going and why it's going there. Your boss comes down and tells you what the plans are. You're charged with implementing what the leadership has decided. The parameters you get are fairly small. They should be in your first managerial job, and then gradually the parameters widen, and then at some point, the parameters disappear. There are no parameters for the senior leadership team of the organization. But here's the thing. Your company, its leaders, right, knows where it's going. It's still not the case that they know that they're right, absolutely perfectly correct in a true and false way about where they've decided to go. And folks, rest assured, despite what you have heard from senior people in your organization, are confident predictions about future successes. Senior people do not know, which is to say, have an utter certainty about because it is proven to be true. They don't know what the future will bring. And that's where a phrase I really like comes from that a lot of executives essentially live every day, which is, if you want to predict the future, invent it. Meaning, don't try to predict it and then wait to see what happens. Engage in the future and say, this is what I'm going to do. It may be wrong. I mean, you literally may choose wrong, but there are a lot of people who would say, I'd rather choose wrong and deliver my idea aggressively than sit around and wait to see what happens. And look, let's take it further. Your company may know where it's going, but the leadership of your organization doesn't know what's going to happen. You can plan for what you're going to do, but in terms of, you know, they don't know what competitors are going to do. They don't know how the economy is going to affect the firm. They don't know that this new product will be a hit and therefore guarantee that 10 new customer support personnel are going to be needed. They have an idea and they're going to be ready for it. And they want you to learn to deal with that uncertainty.
That's right. Like, just like we don't know where podcasting is going to be 5 or 10 years from now in terms of what the platforms look like, all that. And rest assured, Mark and I are talking about that and deciding what we're going to do, even though we don't, quote unquote, know.
And the reason that's important about your leadership, knowing what they're going to do, but not knowing really what's going to happen, when you yourself as a manager, maybe you're a junior manager, maybe you're a senior manager, when you're thinking about future plans to create, it can be daunting to suddenly realize as the parameters have been pushed further and further away from you and you're given more and more freedom to take actions and make plans rather than simply receiving other people's plans, it can be daunting to realize, dude, how do you expect me to come up with a plan for a situation, the future, where I don't know what's going to happen?
Right.
Right? That increasingly relaxed parameters and boundaries can, at times, make you feel like, oh my, I could go anywhere. Well, if I can go anywhere, and there is no map, and you have to draw the map, it's easy to follow a map. But now suddenly you start getting into planning for the future and now you don't have a map. You have to draw the map. And the senior people in your organization, we as facilitators, or Mike and I, and you as a manager, might still have to decide what to do to address a future where you can't actually know it. You're going to encounter more and more situations as you progress in your career where you'll be asked to come up with a plan to address an unknown future. So keep in mind that feeling you get of not knowing what is going to come next, but still having to plan for it, the sense of uncertainty, of risk, of the fear of being wrong, which applies to a lot of y'all, and that lack of confidence, that's normal. You're not the only manager feeling that. Every other manager in the world, except the ones that are megalomaniacs, felt that fear. Fear may not be a big deal to them, but they're aware of it. They're aware that, okay, I am not simply implementing guidance here. I am going to be responsible not only for the execution, which I have been all my career, but also the plan. And if the plan is great, but I don't execute it, you know, that won't turn out well. Or the much more likely situation, my execution was flawless to the plan I came up with, and I don't get any good results. And the reason for that is it was the wrong plan based on what the future ended up handing to you. So it's normal to feel that. Whenever anybody else tells you that they know about the future, what they're really saying is they're confident, but they don't know. Somewhat related to this, there are some of you already processing this and saying, well, if I really didn't understand the future, I'd delay the decision a bit. I'd wait to plan a little bit until I can do a little, I'll do a little pre-plan where I can gather a lot more information to help me see the future better.
Yeah. Well, makes sense, but it's logical to some degree, but my experience, and you know that, I mean, I'm a high C, folks. I'm interested in knowing all the, getting all the details, doing all the research, coming with the plan. And the problem is that it's never quite good enough.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself in this situation waiting a long, long time. And sometimes, yep, you don't know the future. And you'll know what the future is because you'll be waiting so long, you'll be experiencing the future having done nothing.
Yes. And the future, you know, if you're thinking the future 90 days out and, you know, okay, fine, I'll take a plan for 90 days and then I'll start then. You will still have a new future 90 days from then that you don't know.
That's right. It's like waiting. I'll wait for the latest update from Apple or Mark, whoever, right? And it's going to, you know, 2 years later, it comes out and it's like, oh, shoot, I've just went 2 years without a computer.
Yeah, I don't want to buy this laptop right now because I'm pretty sure in 6 months I'll upgrade it. And then, you know, okay, so now it's 6 months later and now it's like, okay, I can do that. But, you know, pretty much they're going to do another. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons why high C's, if you're a disk person, are somewhat underrepresented. They're better represented than they used to be, but somewhat underrepresented among senior executives. Most senior executives, if you had to draw a general conclusion, which is never precise in the individual case, but they tend to be high D's and I's. Why? Because high D's and I's are comfortable with risk. High C's prefer to mitigate risk, and we love risk mitigation. But if you tell your CEO, if you're at the level where you're reporting to a CEO, and you say, well, I'd like to wait. I just don't know what the future is going to bring. I'd like to wait, you know, 90 days until I have a better understanding. There'll be some eyebrows raised around that table. Like, I don't know. We don't get paid to know the future. We get paid to invent the future, create the future, or to take actions, even though we are uncertain. It takes longer than you think when you're doing it. And the future is still going to be unknown. Every day that goes by, there's still another day in the future that you don't know about. And I can assure you, if you feel confident, maybe you're a high D, maybe you're a high I, and you feel confident, even though you don't know, there will also be members of your team who are desperate to wait. They insist on having certainty, and they don't like any risk at all. And your job, if you're a middle manager, if you're a senior manager, a director perhaps, is to help some of those junior managers go, no, we're going to go. And when the junior manager says, but we don't know everything, you look at them and say, I know, we're never going to know everything. And he says, well, I like to feel better about it. And if you're me and you're in a cranky mood, you can say, I don't pay you to feel good. I pay you to get stuff done. Trust me, I don't feel good. I'd love to know everything. But we don't have time. Now, look, there are certainly some times, some situations where getting some information will help. And we're not suggesting that doing a little bit of research is always bad. But if you've been asked to come up with a plan for an uncertain future, you probably know most of what you need to know in order to do what you need to do. And delaying to research, to plan, to implement, to consider, to build a map will be seen as not leader-like.
Yeah. Okay. So now we know the problem. So let's talk about some tools to getting through this sense of uncertainty and coming up with that plan.
Totally. So we're at an offsite, for instance, and we say, okay, we've got an uncertain future here. And maybe it's an area that my boss, you know, maybe my boss is a senior VP and I'm a VP and my boss is really not interested in it. Or he just kind of says, Mark, as Eisenhower once said, you know, I'm here running my division. I don't have time to run your group, you know, run your group for me, would you please? So when you have to figure out what you're going to do to address that uncertain future, look, it may seem prosaic, it may seem simplistic, but what most organizations do is brainstorm. And we recommend you do some brainstorming with your team. And for the record, if you're new to Manager Tools, we have, as of this podcast, nearly 12 years of podcasts. So my 12 times, you know, we're talking 600 podcasts or something like that. And then we have Career Tools on top of it. But one of our Hall of Fame podcasts is on brainstorming. And we have much more detailed guidance there, walking you through a specific example of brainstorming. But let's consider an example of a situation of how we would do it if Mike or I were facilitating for your group, or if you were leading, you know, if you had to lead your own group or team. So let's say we're in an organization and we're facing a tripling in our workload over the next year. And by the way, we have guidance for that too. We have been told we won't get much more headcount, but we have to figure out how to handle the work as best we can. If you're listening to this, and by the way, we're not going to use this example. We're not going to drill down on this example in inordinate detail, but the example is posited to you as a way to make you think, uh-oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my, you know, how could I address that? And what's more, in addition to the tripling, we don't know when the tripling is going to happen. It could be all at once. It could be steadily increasing over the course of the year. And technically, there's a risk that it won't triple, that it'll only double, or that it won't at all. And we won't know until the end of the year, even if we know then. Now, look, if we're the boss or if we're the facilitator, you know, if I were facilitating for your group, I might go, well, I've seen this 1,000 times. I know what they should do. We don't know if I, and if in this case, if I'm the boss, I don't know whether or not my team and their ideas are going to be anywhere near what my ideas are, or whether or not they'd be willing to consider what I want them to do. Maybe Mike and I are leading our team and we're not sure ourselves, and we suggest something to the team and the team doesn't buy in. Now, you may still choose to do that because, hey, guys, you've never done this, but I've done it 100 times. But that's really just, I've come up with a plan and now you'll implement it. And we have found you'll get far better results if you include people in the planning process so they feel they have a stake in the idea and they understand how the idea came to be. If the team doesn't buy in and we're not certain about it, we've created a situation where we have an uncertain plan and the people who have to do it, your team, will implement it weekly. I can't tell you how, one of the longest lessons I ever learned in my life, Mike, was I knew, again, I did not know, but I was very confident that my team, my group needed to do X. And I just stupidly assumed that they felt the same way I did because I said I knew. But of course, they didn't know. They didn't have the experience. And I didn't spend enough time educating them and coaching them and so on. And so when they implemented steps of the plan that I had created, they did so somewhat blindly because they'd never been there before. And it took me quite a while, probably 5 years of repeatedly doing that, that I would get less than great results on an implementation. And I would finally go, oh, I get it. They have to be part of the solution. And of course, as a stupid idea, I was like, oh, that's just more work, man. Yeah. I got to bring them on board. I got to do pre-wires, internal pre-wires with my team. But once I started doing it, things started working better.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So look, we're going to ask for the team's input. If you don't know what the future looks like, don't put the burden only on yourself. Ask for your team's input. We ask everyone to contribute ideas we might consider. We brainstorm. And look, in these situations, guys, brainstorming works really well. If we were just to ask for ideas from the team, hey, what do you think we should do? The people, let's say you're in a meeting. All of the people in that meeting will probably see that question as being them being put on the spot for the right answer.
Right. There's a problem, right? And yeah. They're in front of their peers and their boss, and the fear of giving the wrong answer is strong, right?
Yeah.
And they'll clam up. That's the problem.
And by the way, that fear caused them to not think as creatively and to not share. They're just not going to do it. But for some reason, thanks to the ubiquity of the tool, when we say let's brainstorm, most professionals are now much more comfortable being open with their ideas. Somehow, brainstorming and the idea of going after volume, quantity, rather than quality, eliminates the need to have the right answer. We specifically say we want lots of ideas. We don't even care whether the idea is relevant or not. We just want to, you know, we want to download or sort of brain dump everything on the table, just throw up on the table, and then we'll sort through it and see if there are some hidden gems in there. And that somehow lessens the pressure. And now, if I'm in the audience, I can say, well, we could try this or we could try that. If you had said before, if Mike's leading and I'm in the audience and Mike's facilitating or leading and he says, what should we do? Well, should resonates mentally with most people and emotionally. And they say, well, you're expecting me to know what to do. And either I'm worried that my answer will be wrong, or maybe my colleagues will think that I'm being arrogant, that I actually think I know what we should do. And so then what happens is I posit an idea if he asks me, what should we do? And immediately, because no idea, the first idea you come up with is perfect and immediately unanimously approved, the other people, feeling nervous, uncomfortable, and not thinking through things, then say, well, here's what's wrong with this. Here's what's wrong with that. Now you've got fighting over the ideas rather than creativity on the future you're trying to create. So asking for brainstorming lessens the pressure. What we do is we stand up in front of the group and we say, well, we've got an interesting problem here. It's one most of us probably haven't faced before. Let's just brainstorm on it for 5 or 10 minutes, and we should be able to come up with some good stuff. Now, folks, for a group of 10, usually 10 minutes is probably all they can stand. Now, if they're still generating ideas that are fairly close to the margins or on target or whatever in your mind, then let them keep going. If, in fact, they start petering out after 5 to 7 minutes, there's no sense in prolonging it. It will gradually die its own death. If you've got a group of 20, usually you can go longer. And if you'll refer to our guidance in the brainstorming task, there's a bunch of specific, more detailed techniques to talk about how to extend the energy and so on. And in related point, after we're doing brainstorming here, we're going to do multiple votes. And we're not going to tell you black and white, this is the way it should be. But we generally don't recommend you tell the group whom you're facilitating or leading during the brainstorming that you are then going to vote and choose the most likely ideas or plans to start working on afterwards. The group, as it starts to brainstorm, is feeling like the future is too hard to predict. When managers, when individual contributors are asked to plan the future, they equate that as predicting the future. It's just too hard. Things are too uncertain, right? And so they're afraid of being wrong. They probably can't even think of one idea before you get started, and it'll take a couple of minutes before people start warming up. And the reason for that is, go back to what we said earlier, they're thinking at this time that they have to have the one idea that is the idea. In other words, they're shooting for perfect quality with a unit volume of one, which is impossible, right? Almost everything that turns out to be of high quality is in some fashion iterative and tested and so on. Whereas brainstorming goes just the opposite. We don't care how good your ideas are. We just believe that there's enough intelligence in a room of people who are related to a particular problem that they will be able to come up with some, and probably a few of them could be quite good because we're smart. So if they're not bought in yet before you start brainstorming, telling them we're going to brainstorm and then we're going to vote on it, they begin to feel like, oh, wait, okay, we're going to come up with a solution here and I'm not really sure I know what to do and I don't really believe in the brainstorming. They won't trust that process. They'll still be thinking it's too hard, it's too much, it's too vague. But at the end of the brainstorming, they'll discover that their group probably had 20, 30, 40, 50 ideas, and some of them aren't so bad. The first step we facilitated has worked fine, and they'll be ready for another step with you facilitating them, and they'll be more confident. And when you whittle down from 40 ideas to the 2 or 3 or 4 that are going to be considered for level of effort and ultimately which one or two gets implemented, they will start to be on board and they will start to have more confidence. So as the funnel narrows, confidence expands. If you try at the top when the funnel is very wide and confidence is very small to say, this is how we're going to get there, people won't necessarily believe it because they're hanging on to their old idea. If you tell them at step two, here's what we're going to do. Let's see where the energy is. Let's vote. Particularly when you use visual record keeping, which is our next step, you'll find that groups are much more likely to turn out to be positive about the outcomes.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll finish up this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.